In Your Skin by Dark Red Love Knot, read for you by Dana Scully, 1013. A The Untamed / Mo Dao Zu Shi fan work. This story is rated explicit, and the creator has chosen not to use archive warnings. Additional tags include post-canon, pre-relationship, getting together, horror, body horror, blood and gore, angst, angst with a happy ending, hurt comfort, love confessions, non-consensual body modification, kinda, reflections over death and self-worth, mentions of canon suicide, near-death experiences. The ache begins in his sternum. It's dinner time, and the curry is rather good, so Wei Wuxian simply rubs the heel of his hand down his chest and keeps shuffling down the rice. It wouldn't be the first time he ate too fast after a longer night hunt. He'd been away for 2 days this time, his first solitary mission in a good while. It felt strange, after spending these past few months suspended in peacefulness here in Gusu, all spun clouds and morning chill, sleeping in beneath the weight of blankets and sharing his meals with Lam Wanji in half-done robes. Lan Zhan, who had welcomed him into his home, not just the cloud recesses, but his own chambers, to sleep on the guest bed in the corner where the sharp autumn sunrise wouldn't hit him. It had been frightening to leave this bubble of fragile happiness. Upon his leaving, it had stretched, pliant and strong, somehow never snapping. The mud of the road had been familiar beneath his feet, grounding as he traveled with a goal in mind and a place to return to. Of course, he'd gotten thrown around a little too, another plausible cause for weird aches and pains. With a body like his, getting the occasional unexplainable twinge was more expected than not. He finishes the meal with only a few subtle grimaces. Lam Meng Ji watches him as he springs up to put away their bowls, but then that's also nothing really unusual.
I will be taking a bath,
Lam Meng Ji says as he rises, sentence going light at its end, as if it's a question. Yeah, Wei Wuxian breathes, because saying go ahead implies he should have any say in the matter. I'll rinse off the dishes.
You do not have to,
Lam Meng Ji reminds him, because of course he does. He's sweet enough to think of Wei Wuxian's issues when it comes to being called a servant, though he really does have no issues with it, personally. He likes working, providing for people he loves, fixing his own messes, but scrubbing the bowl of his own night snack chili in the stream behind the Jing Shi past midnight doesn't, apparently, make Lam Meng Ji decide to finally kiss him. It just makes him look sad as he pulls his night robes tighter around himself. So Wei Wuxian settles on neatly stacking the bowls, placing them outside the sliding door with a silent apology to whoever has to scrub his curry stains from the white porcelain. As the sounds of buckets of hot water being poured begins to sound from behind the cloud-patterned privacy screen, Wei Wuxian decides it's too early in the evening to settle down by the low table to scribble away on his records of a demonic cultivator how to walk the single log bridge. Also, the sounds of Lam Meng Ji bathing always drives him mad, so he heads out to the training grounds. At this hour, the field is all pleasant half-dark and cold evening air and cricket noises in the distance. Breathing out, Wei Wuxian swings his arms. His chest feels sore, as if after a beating. Well, he's not beaten quite yet. Mentally painting Wen Cao's face on the practice puppet, Wei Wuxian swings his fist. Sweat stinging in his eyes and breath raw in his lungs, he heads back to the lantern-lit buildings on legs that threaten to wobble beneath him. He feels like shit, strangely enough. Nauseous and lightheaded, and somehow, the pain still hasn't disappeared from his chest. It's gotten worse. It feels like something sharp raking down the inside of his ribcage, clinking against each bone. He can almost feel the note of it reverberate through the hollows of his chest. It's a strange kind of pain, slow and specific. Wei Wuxian draws a shuddering breath. He recalls the man he'd helped the day before, in a damp, foggy village where the wooden walls were slowly rotting around the people living there. Wei Wuxian had very clearly explained to the man that he was no doctor, that cultivators only had basic medical training and that it was mostly trauma-focused, but he had insisted. Apparently, the closest real doctor was a day's ride away and took her payment in silver. So Wei Wuxian had knelt by the bed in the dim room and felt the man's fever-hot temple and pulse points. He had complained about strange pains, had he not? After rinsing off in a few buckets of cold water in the public student bathroom, Wei Wuxian wraps himself in a plain gusu robe and heads back to the Jing Shi, shivering in the night air. When he returns, Lan Mengji is sitting by his low mirror, brushing out his hair. In the process of washing and drying, it has lost its silky quality, now rushing in a slightly wavy frizz down his back. Lan Mengji glances back at the sound of the door, but returns easily to the brushing. He's wearing his inner robe, tied loosely by the waist. Below the white folds, Lan Mengji's bare feet are tucked neatly beneath himself. Wei Wuxian has never seen anything sweeter than those 10 blushed toes peeking out beneath the swell of his bottom. Clearing his throat, he mutters an apology for the intrusion and ducks behind the thin curtains separating the guest bed from the rest of the chamber. His face is warm as he puts away his things, as if lit by a fireplace. Lan Mengji truly is an open hearth like this, dressed down and unpolished, unarmored. It crackles and burns, hypnotizingly, awakening some primal temptation to ignore the danger of fire.
Wei Yong.
Yes? He dips his head out between the curtain again, breathing through the feeling of his ribs bending strangely as Lan Mengji's bare feet pad across the wooden floor. His ankles are so delicate. Forcing his eyes to travel up, he sees Lan Mengji's lips pursing in disapproval at Wei Wuxian's wet hair, soaking slowly into his robes.
It is growing colder,
he says, a sentence laced with layers that Wei Wuxian decides to avoid deciphering. Wei Wuxian hums. It was nice and fresh out. Autumn sure does hit early here. Lan Mengji simply looks at him. He looks too pretty post-bathing to deliver his stern look properly.
Tomorrow I will get thicker blankets for your bed.
He pauses, but bows his head.
Good night, Wei Yong.
Sleep well, Lan Zhen. After wringing out his hair with a small towel, Wei Wuxian pulls the thin sheets close to his body and tries to fall asleep thinking about something nice. When he awakens, his body once again drifts into realness. He's used to it by now, feeling reborn each morning, slowly filling out his own edges and curves like sand growing shape in an hourglass. He is real. He is alive. He is in Gusu, wrapped in sheets that smell of soap and herbs. His fingers are curled around the edge of the hard pillow. His cold feet are outside the sheets, and there is a wetness on his face. Dragging in a slow breath, he rolls over onto his side, cuddling deeper into the blankets. He hasn't cried in his sleep for a while. Usually it only happens when he's been smiling too much without meaning it, and working too much without seeing what his hands are doing. In Yunmeng, in burial mounds, he would wake up to wet cheeks and laugh. It hasn't happened in Gusu so far. Sniffling, he drags a palm across his face. The drying tears feel almost sticky. Through damp lashes, he slits his eyes open, sees his unfocused hand, smeared with fresh crimson. "Fuck," he whispers, morning groggy and scared. He sits up too fast. Stumbling out of bed, he digs up a handheld jade mirror from a pile of his things. There are no visible injuries on his face. Still, it's clearly blood, gleaming by his nasal sills and tear ducts, drying in the creases and on the skin of his lips. He stares, a little wild-eyed. It's probably fine. He's been leaning more into physical workouts than spiritual exercises lately. His meridians have probably gotten clogged up with stray yin energy. Also, his chest feels constricted, heavy with a deep-rooted ache that had blossomed overnight from the small stings yesterday. So, that's a thing. Lenzhen? The sun is filtering in through the thin curtain, bright and clear. The Jingshi remains perfectly quiet. Lenzhen must be out. The relief that washes through him is not something he's proud of. Turning his blood-speckled pillow upside down, he goes to draw a bath. The steam of the hot water engulfs him in a sense of normalcy as he disrobes. As always, he feels a little strange about undressing in Lanmengji's chambers, using Lanmengji's nice bath all for himself when Lanmengji isn't even home. Of course, he wouldn't mind. Sometimes he readies baths for Wei Wuxian after a particularly rainy night hunt, knowing he cannot refuse and waste perfectly good, clean, warm water. And the baths feel nice here, too, with Lanmengji's voice on the other side of the screen. He is thinking about Lanmengji gently chastising him when his inner robe slips off his shoulders and he sees the bruises on his chest. Big, flowery stains, bluish in color, blushing across the stretch of his ribs and growing green by his belly. Wei Wuxian's fingertips drag along them, tracing the marks with something like shock and confusion. When he presses down on them, they ache. So they are, in fact, bruises. Blocked meridians don't cause bruises. Had he gone harder on the training grounds last night than he'd thought? Fucked himself up somehow, landing a fall the wrong way? Or... cold rises in him instantly. Had someone given him these while he slept? No, that was impossible. Not only was Gusu shielded, Wei Wuxian had spent his first few weeks here setting up an intricate protection system around the Jingshi. No one should be able to step within these walls without permission. Still, he can't shake his growing anxiety as he steps into the water. He needs to relax. There is probably a perfectly fine solution to this, which he will pinpoint and execute before Lanmengji returns from his work, and they can have yet another sweet evening together. Ah, how wonderful. The voice sounds from directly behind him. Wei Wuxian twists violently, hot water splashing onto the oiled paper screen, his hand automatically scrambling for something. A long-forgotten sword. Tung ting. A fucking knife. There is nothing but wood panel behind him. He whips around, searching the dark corners. It's quiet, apart from the drip of spilled water. Oh, great. Something not of this world, he huffs. He knows how to deal with those, at least. And here I was sure I'd done enough experiments in the Jingshi that I would have known if this house was haunted. Oh, but it's not. The voice sounds again from the same place, as if it's traveling from the base of Wei Wuxian's skull, reverberating through the bones of his body. You are. Fuck. What? Wei Wuxian whispers. Heavens, he's really not in the mood for this. Naked and sore and having had his plans for the day ruined. You are mine, the ghost says, and Wei Wuxian groans, splashing hot water on his face and slowly dragging his hands down. Well, fuck. Ah, my friend, what you're saying is you're currently haunting me specifically. I take it you were the one to grace me with these marks, then? Honestly, it's about time. He's wondered why so few spirits of the dead have come for him for previous crimes, had assumed they had been frightened off by his power. Not this one, clearly. I am in you. The voice whispers, like a spirit would haunt the chambers of a temple, make its home there, if it wished to. As an echo to the words, Wei Wuxian's ribs strain against his chest, sending another jolt of pain through his bones. He stares down at himself. Through the water, the skin of his belly moves, as if fingertips are pushing against it in a lazy stretch from inside. Well, I hate that, Wei Wuxian declares, battling a sudden surge of nausea. I really hate that. You are officially getting eliminated. I'm not even going to try to be nice. There is a pause. You wish to rid yourself of me? The tone is almost surprised, as if the idea is ridiculous. Wei Wuxian doesn't appreciate that. He laughs sharply. Look, I'm not sure if you know who you're messing with. Placing his palm to his belly, Wei Wuxian begins to whistle. Low, erratic tones that quiver through the warm air in the room, making the temperature drop as the inky velvet within his flesh begins to stir. The water washing up around his knees grows chilly, goosebumps traveling up his damp neck. Closing his eyes, he focuses. The tendrils of resentment interwoven with his muscle fiber responds, eager to please. At his command, they tighten around the foreign presence at his core, black lace on pink flesh, clenching down. It hurts. Right away, Wei Wuxian can feel how deeply this being has penetrated into his guts. It's right there, like a splinter or a shard of glass, real and physical and agonizing to pull out. Fuck! Whatever this ghost is, it has a hold on him. Wei Wuxian is currently making his yin energy attack his very own tissues, trying to tear his own organs out of his body. Bleary eyes opening, he spits blood, watching it blossom into the cold bathwater. That is impressive, Wei Wuxian, but ultimately pointless. I have a flesh shield, you see. Wei Wuxian bares his teeth. Funny. So you do know who I am. I am older than you, Wei Wuxian. Wei Yung, Yi Ling Lao Zu. I have witnessed much. Still smiling, Wei Wuxian decides he does not like this creature saying his birth name. It feels far too intimate, considering he already feels quite intruded upon. He wishes he was wearing clothes, nonsensically. Lounging back against the wooden boards of the tub, he licks his teeth clean of metal and salt. "What do you want?" he asks, businesslike. "Flesh and sinew, blood and mucus, bone and muscle." "What, you want to devour me?" Wei Wuxian sighs, wishing he felt more shocked at that idea. "I want your body, Wei Wuxian, to take for my own. I want your life." At first, Wei Wuxian takes it as a threat of death. Boring, the usual. Then he turns those words over in his mind, slow and deliberate. And, oh, this ghost does not want him to join the dead. It wants to join the living. He pictures his body, doll-like and stiff, going through the motions of domestic life with Lan Meng Ji, his teeth flashing white as he grins, fingers crooked around his cup of liquor. It would be a parody of Wei Yung. "Yeah, no," he thinks. Jaw clenched, Wei Wuxian drags his fingertips along his own meridians and focus points, trying to pin down where the ghost has manifested in him. So far, it seems contained to his torso. Good. He can work with that. The ghost won't harm any vital organs, after all. Not if it wants his body. "I can help you." Confidence is always a good starting point. He happens to have a lot of it, plus charm and experience. He hasn't been known as the master of death in children's tales for the past decades for nothing. "Oh, and what do you have to offer that I cannot take?" "Think, Wei Wuxian." He cannot exactly offer up another body. It would have to be living, and he would force this fate upon no criminal. "Power," he muses aloud. "I can send you on your way, charged with more spiritual energy than you would know what to do with." He'd hunt the ghost down right after, of course. He's unleashed enough atrocities on the world as it is, himself included. But he doesn't need to mention that. "I cannot cultivate resentment," the voice whispers through his skull. "I need pure energy." "Then you're gonna be weak as hell in this old body. Seriously, I have very little to impress with, apart from my fluting. You'll grow bored."
"No doubt."
"See? You should probably be going. I have things to do. Boring, non-powerful things. Like fetching fresh laundry for me and Lan Zhen."
There is a strange tremble in his chest. Laugh, he realizes. The ghost is laughing at him. In him.
Well, that's not very nice. Huffing, Wei Wuxian rises, shaking off the waterfall of cold droplets that cling to him. He dries off with a piece of folded, soft fabric and dresses with habit-driven movements. Pretending everything is normal usually works well to push aside panic for a plan. He settles by the low table, grabbing ink, a brush, and stacks of clean scrolls. "I'm gonna fuck you up," he thinks. The passing of time only hits him when he hears Lan Mengji's neat footsteps padding up the steps outside, and he snaps his stiff neck up to see the last sliver of burnished gold sunlight hide by the edge of the window. He swallows, the various cramps of his limbs and the sour emptiness of his stomach filing into his awareness one by one. Before him, the table is strewn with papers, piecing together his plan in ink smears and quick sketches. It will be a complex spirit banishment. Somehow, he has to make his talisman come in contact with the ghost without harming his own body. So he will eat the talisman. It's experimental, and it has currently brought Wei Wuxian far down the rabbit hole of figuring out how to make paper acid-proof, in addition to working on his older project of remote activation of spells. He feels sunken deep into his own mind, into calculations and theory, and his usual vivid imagination, illustrating in brilliant color how exactly this could all go very wrong.
Wei Yong.
It is not the first time Lan Wangji returns from work to find him hunched over the table like this. When Wei Wuxian doesn't respond, he simply walks over to the mounted wall mirror and begins undoing the pins and ties of his complicated hairdo. Frowning, Wei Wuxian stares harder at his own messy handwriting. Really, how sour could stomach acid be?
What are you working on?
There is the sound of footsteps again. In his periphery, he sees wool-covered feet this time. It really has grown colder. Making a non-committal sound, Wei Wuxian feels his head buzz with exhaustion.
May I see?
The presence of Lan Wangji by his side begins to stir him out of his daze. It's only when a fine-boned hand reaches out for a sketch that he snaps to, snatching the paper away. His heart thumps in his chest, sudden and loud. Hurriedly, he closes the few books strewn across the tabletop, stacks his papers together. Don't... Sorry, I made a mess. He knows that if he let him, Lan Wangji would stay seated beside him for as long as it took to read diligently through every single one of his sketches with a soft, thoughtful expression, before giving his feedback and letting the two of them work out the issues out loud, together. But he shouldn't, right? Usually, he shares his plans for a new way of protecting the Gusu orchards from insects, or a fun invention to show the juniors, not this. It's fine. Wei Wuxian smiles thinly. I'm done for today. Lan Mangji is looking at him, hand still poised slightly in the air, as if he wants to reach out.
Shall I make you tea?
He asks instead, which is Lan Mangji for,
you look tired.
It's fine, Wei Wuxian repeats. It does not stop Lan Mangji from rising. Soon, a fire is crackling to life, porcelain softly clinking. The steaming cup is placed close to his hands. Wei Wuxian's eyes burn a little.
Wei Yong, is something wrong?
Lan Mangji is speaking to him so intimately, as if they are sharing secrets. Just the two of them, safe at home. He looks up at Lan Mangji, blinks his blurry face into focus. Oh, Lan Zhan. The temptation to share sits on his tongue as Lan Mangji moves to feel his wrist. The voice hisses through his bones, as startling as the first time. If he touches you, I'll take him instead. Wei Wuxian jerks his hand back, ears ringing. Logically, he knows Lan Mangji has one of the strongest golden cores in the country, knows he, if anyone, would be able to crush this intruder within himself. But the thought of something foreign burrowing inside Lan Mangji to frolic beneath his jade skin, even for a moment, is unbearable. Do you want to see him bleed?
Wei Yong.
He's reaching out again, a frown cutting in between his brows. Wei Wuxian scrambles backward, gets to his feet, turns away from the stark concern on Lan Mengzi's face. I'm going for a walk, he breathes, and hurries out. It's freezing cold, air seeping through his robes like water. He forgot the woolen outer robe Lan Mengzi had gotten for him. The stone walkway takes him through the Jingshi Garden. He takes a side path into the bamboo grove, letting the tall shadow of them hide him. What the fuck? I thought you wanted my body, he hisses, watching his breath rise as fog around him. Oh, I would prefer you, but I never mind an extra feeding. Don't you touch him. Do not let him touch you, then. Wei Wuxian barks a laugh. Afraid of being discovered, are you? He may be able to banish me faster than I can eat his insides. However, he would not be able to save you. Feeling the night chill sink into his very bones, Wei Wuxian tightens his fists. Well, he's already concerned. If you don't want him to know something is up, forbidding him from touching me is not the best way. A rumble again. He can feel it in his windpipe. Yes, you are rather fond of that, aren't you? For some reason, that is the thing that makes his stomach lurch more than anything else so far. His feelings for Lan Mengzi, that big swell beneath the surface, the unknown dizzying depths of them, that's private. Shut up. That's not your business. Everything in you is my business. Your heart rate and your sweat. Your sweet mortal love. How long have you wanted this man? You don't know anything. The thought that the ghost is able to read his physical signals and that his body reacts to simply being around Lan Mengzi makes him feel strange and nervous. I am in your head, dear. I may not be able to read thoughts, but I can feel the buzz when you look upon him. Have you ever seen your own brain? Of course you haven't. It's soft, sheathed in slime, so very pink, like all these other lovely caverns of your body, your diaphragm. The stretch of it above where I first took root in you. Your nose cavities, slim and perfect. Your soft brown liver. The pulse of your heart chambers, quickening when I speak. Oh, you are lovely. Get the fuck out, Wei Wuxian says, taking several steps backwards. Get out. I just told you how wonderful I find you. It has been a while since I've had such a warm resting place. In most people, I need to shove aside energy and intestines and make a room for myself. But you have such a nice hollowed out core already. Empty, just waiting for me. You are cavernous, Wei Wuxian. I think I will make you my home. He almost yells out in frustration. The quiet of a Gusu night halts him. He does not want Lan Mengzi to come running, not now. He might vomit at his feet. Wei Wuxian prides himself on having a decent toleration of pain and discomfort, of horror and the threat of violence. He can fucking take it, okay? But this, he feels violated, turned inside out. There are parts of him that shouldn't be exposed to air. Vulnerable, beating pink parts of him that he doesn't want seen. And, like always, there is no god descending to help him. He walks back, crossing his arms against the shaking, hoping Lamanti has not gone out to look for him by now. In the Jingshi, Lamanti is sitting by the fireplace, a golden-lit, worried face turning towards him as he enters. He pads right over to the flames, sits down next to him. They wait as his shivers slowly melt away, though the tension never quite leaves him.
You have been quiet since your night hunt,
Lamanti finally says. He seems to hesitate.
Is there anything I can do differently?
Oh, Lantan, Wei Wuxian breathes, something in him collapsing. Oh, you didn't do anything wrong.
Then something else. Did somebody...
He trails off, uncharacteristically. He's being so genuine, so prepared to fit his home around Wei Wuxian's edges and curves. No, nothing like that. He shakes his head slowly. Lamangti still watches him, intently. Really, Lanzhen, don't worry about me, yeah? Despite everything, Lamangti only nods and puts an arm around him. His sleeve is wide enough to wrap him up like in a shawl, and Wei Wuxian curls instinctively into the embrace, air going out of him. The half-hug is warm and welcoming. It's bold for Lamangti. Within Wei Wuxian, something squirms in warning. He expects the ghost's careful behavior around Lamangti is due to its fear of being found out. He's grateful for the quiet, but it's also worse, somehow. He sits within the silken heat of Lantan and feels disgusting, like he is bringing a snake into his home. Still, he lets Lamangti hold his shoulders, brush a warmth that may be his mouth against his uncombed hair. Oh, how he wishes they were alone right now. It makes something burn in his chest, accusatory and yearning. Why hadn't he kissed Lamangti all the thousands of moments he'd had to try?
Let us go to bed. You may sleep beside me, if it helps.
Lamangti murmurs. Lantan, who thinks Wei Wuxian is sad and doesn't know why. Wei Wuxian ducks his head, schooling his expression, which is currently doing a lot of things. Yeah, that'd be nice. It's chaste, the way they settle into bed. Lamangti's mattress is not broad, but it is far from slim, too. They have enough room to not touch as they lie side by side, although Wei Wuxian can definitely feel the other man's body heat beside him. Lamangti is so hot, his skin always flushed to the touch, although it remains pale. Beneath the covers, where Wei Wuxian usually curls up like a newborn to shiver and cling to the sheets, it is now a pleasant pocket of heat. It's nice. As he's drifting off, his arm itches where it lies, relaxed against white sheets. Wei Wuxian turns his head, watches his half-open hand through sleepy lashes. Beneath the skin of his wrist, a fine tendon moves, tenses on its own, like a guzheng string pulled by clever touches. One of his fingers begins to lift, stiffly, like a wooden puppet. Wei Wuxian stares. Frowning, he tries to relax, work through the cramp of it. His body disobeys. Joint by joint, the finger crooks in small, twig-snapping movements. Wei Wuxian slams his hand into a tight fist. It trembles slightly, but only with his own nerves. He has to end this tomorrow. In his dreams that night, there is gore. At first, he can't make sense of the sensations. The wetness surrounding him, the dull thumping, the stretch of something soft which gives. It comes in flashes, snippets of impressions that squirm into his brain. The root of a tongue viewed from the innermost hollow of a mouth. Bones of a spine neatly stacked. Blood slipping between layers of tissue before something tears. Then a bright light and a guttural scream. Another, something hisses. One that will last. One you can wear forever. The sound of a heartbeat follows him into wakefulness, slowly melting down from an all-encompassing, directionless fog to a thumping right against his chest. He is so warm. Skin gives beneath his fingertips a soft dip.
Wei Yong.
The voice bears the inflection of having repeated his name several times before. Insistent, kindly exasperated. Wei Wuxian opens his eyes. Trapped beneath the weight of his upper body, Lam Mengji lies very still, hands neatly by his sides. His face is a hair's width away, Wei Wuxian's slow breaths rustling his baby hairs. His hands are on Lam Mengji, palms at his throat. Holding windpipe and gullet and jugular, fingers framing the underside of his jaw. The pulse can be felt there, too, fast like a praise.
Wei Yong.
He looks at Wei Wuxian's mouth, almost too quick to see, before glancing away, as if embarrassed. Blinking, Wei Wuxian awakens a little more, in a sharp tug. Oh! He tears his hands back, rolling back onto his own side of the bed, face burning even as he feels ice cold. I was dreaming. I'm sorry, Lan Zhen, he whispers. It's half light, likely past nine already. Lam Mengji must have awoken to that. What if he hadn't called Wei Wuxian's name?
It is fine.
It's not, I... Wei Wuxian trails off. Would he have hurt Lam Mengji, half caught in dreams of a ghost? Lan Zhen had felt so soft, like soft clay to crumble in his grip. I'm sorry. He repeats, weakly. Sitting up a little stiffly, Lam Mengji swings his leg over the bedside. He is blushing, just slightly. Oh. Lam Mengji thinks he's had a wet dream. That's why he's not asking. Wei Wuxian huffs out a breath, closing his eyes for a moment. Then he sits up as well. Might as well get an early start, right? They dress and eat in silence. Lam Mengji used to starting the day alone, and Wei Wuxian's body busy protesting the hour. I am free at lunch today. Lam Meng Ji says softly as he straightens his forehead ribbon by the door. Wei Wuxian grins, a little too brightly, and hopes he is still alive by then. The banishment will happen today. He's decided that the acid proofing is less important, as long as he infuses the talisman with enough power. The ghost is no longer contained to his stomach, after all. The ghost stays suspiciously quiet as he walks briskly into the forest behind the Jing Shi, his talisman field kit in hand. Lam Meng Ji had gifted him the little travel pouch with an ink vial and brush after he had sliced his own thumb open one too many times when making a talisman in a pinch. He hopes the ghost is underestimating him. While it cannot read his mind, it has been able to spy in on the entire preparation and planning process, which makes Wei Wuxian's gut tighten with nervousness. Funny, really. If this was in the burial mounds, he'd have laughed in the ghost's face, spat on the ground, and gotten to work. In hindsight, he supposes he cared too little for his own well-being back then. What did he have to lose after his family, his cultivation, his future was gone? Now, he fiercely wants to go back to the Jing Shi after this. He has a lunch date, after all. It feels strange to undress when facing an enemy, but of course, no amount of armor would spare him from harm right now. He folds up his robes, a strange new habit, that, and drags in a deep breath once he's standing in dark pants and shoes and nothing else. Right. Down to business. Kneeling in the morning damp moss, he pulls out the vial of vermilion ink, made of powdered cinnabar diluted with water. Pigment straight off an inkstone charges better, but it would do. He ignores the cute little brush and tips the vial right against his pinky. The color stains his skin brightly as he paints a string of interwoven characters up the length of both his forearms, then his chest. Fully hairless now. He'd been proud of his few dark strands, years ago, his belly slowly forming muscle beneath the soft skin. His hands are sticky red by the time he's done. If he doesn't find a way to sneak a bath before meeting Lam Meng Ji for lunch, he'll think Wei Wuxian has reverted to his old ways. Or worse. The talismans are his attempt at protecting his body from the magic that's about to occur within it. Banishments flash and burn, sometimes leaving scorch marks on the ground. He may have a strong stomach, but he wouldn't want that happening inside him. The banishment spell itself he writes on a piece of oiled paper. He has the waterproofing down, at least. Wei Wuxian has been thinking of ways to perfect it all morning, and he thinks he has it now. The key lies in the parting of flesh and spirit, an isolation, first, of the intruder, then banishment of the trapped prey. He paints out the talisman with quick, determined strokes, pausing to flick at details along the way. His mind is racing, thinking up improvements. You know, I am surprised. It shouldn't come as much of a shock anymore, but the ghost's rumble from the back of his skull still has his hand slipping, extending a line of ink too far. I wouldn't have thought you'd give in so fast. What do you mean, give in? The ghost stays silent, but somehow Wei Wuxian knows it is mocking him. What? What has he missed? Or is this some fucked up distraction? He knows the banishment will work, has run it through his mind 1,000 times by now. There is no chance of failure. Then the protection charms? They were, after all, thrown together faster. Wei Wuxian lifts his pale underarms, studying the drying vermilion, the way the energy net is designed to permeate into his body, protecting his insides as well as his skin. The opening he has left for the ghost to escape through, the slight unevenness on his left arm, where the old summoning curse marks from Mo Xuan Yu's ritual has left a row of four jagged scars. It's no issue. The characters are totally readable. Oh. Cold washes over him, gut dropping with the vertigo of his realization. The summoning curse, which had bound his drifting spirit to Mo Xuan Yu's body. The banishment talisman, which is structured around spirit binding, separating body and spirit. He could almost laugh. His body would be protected, all right, but his soul would be torn from its shell, banished like a stale ghost right along with his intruder. Fuck, he whispers, arms falling, oiled paper falling in flutters to the ground. Ah, so you finally realized we aren't that dissimilar. We're not the same, he huffs, staring at the mess that is his ritual, what was supposed to save him. There must be a way to separate them. This thing is a ghost haunting him. He is the person who lives here. Both are spirits, bound to flesh. Still, there must be a way. This isn't really your body, right? You're as much a parasite here as I am. That's different. Is it? You were dead. A spirit. Then you took this empty shell. It was given to me, he hisses, turning his head even though there is nothing to glare at. I was summoned. That's right. You didn't actually want to live. I want to live. So do I. I was human once too, you know. And him? Do you not think he deserved his own body? His own life? That wasn't my choice. After all, it was your legacy that gave him the hope to even try that ritual, which, as it happens, was based upon your research. Tell me again how you didn't take anything from him. Shut up. You don't deserve this body. What have you done with it? Are you happy? Have you lived out your dreams? I'm trying, he whispers fervently. You haven't even kissed the man you love. I know, I'm... He sucks in air. What had he done with it? Being called back to the living had been something he'd shrugged off, groaned about in a joking, just let me sleep a little longer kind of way. Mo Xuan Yu, why did you bring me back? Why didn't you just let me be? It had been fear, he thinks. Fear of touching old wounds, badly scabbed. Fear of having to face what he did those nights in the bright, unyielding light of the next morning. But he had touched them, all right. Faced his own self and wept at the horror. Forgiven, forgotten, avenged. Was that enough? He feels untethered, not weighed down by any irrefutable deserving claim of this body. His soul isn't interwoven in these tissues. These are not the legs he learned to walk upon, the knees he scraped in childhood, the hands he cramped memorizing characters, or the eyes he first saw Lan Zhen with. Somehow, that is what breaks his heart the most, that he is another in Lan Zhen's memories. He wonders if Lan Zhen looks back on them fondly, grieves what was lost, and will always be. Wei Wuxian trembles. He's freezing cold, the autumn morning air harsh against his every inch of exposed skin. He's half naked, smeared in crimson. He has failed.
Where are you, Wei Wuxian? Where are your ashes, your bones? Don't you want to rest?
Digging his fingers into the mossy ground, he wonders if he really does belong on the other side of it. He's crying, he realizes, two hot tears spilling down the ridge of his nose. And fuck that. These are his nails, fine and neat after Lan Zhen had trimmed them for him. His new scars, that his own bad sewing skills had turned jagged, right? He wishes, sudden and hungry, that he could have Lan Zhen touch him. Bite him, kiss him, fuck him, hit him, hold him. He wants to be forced into something physical, into the shape of a living animal, rabbit heart and wolf howls, violently aware. Wei Wuxian rinses off the talismans, useless fucking things, in the cold river. The vermilion washes the water red. He's knees deep in the stream, splashing water on his face when he sees. His nails have a second layer of nails growing beneath them. What the fuck? He whispers, almost too exhausted to be scared. Almost.
I am growing, Wei Wuxian. Haven't you felt it?
He's felt it. The groaning ache in his ribcage and the occasional tightness in his throat. He'd put it down to a lovely blend of his usual stress and the addition of having a ghost slowly killing him from within. But, of course, that first morning, he'd had bruises. He'd bled. This thing was growing a physical shape. Turning his shaking hands over, he sees the same freshly pink arc of plate growing on each finger underneath his own dirt-stained ones. On his inner arms, there are too many veins beneath the skin. Slowly, he feels his teeth with the tip of his tongue. There is a strange new row budding through pink gums there, too. What are you doing to me? He staggers back, falling onto his bottom by the riverside with a splash.
This is nothing. Soon I will shed you like old skin, and I will have my body at last.
That explains it. The diagram he'd seen in one of the scrolls, showcasing a ghost infection that he'd dismissed for a different kind of case. A starkly drawn image of a man, drenched in blood, stepping out from the shell of an identical body. This ghost doesn't have the strength to steer him like a puppet, exhausting its energy endlessly for a half-worn body. It's the kind that leeches on the host's energy. Wei Wuxian's spiritual energy, which he's been striving to cultivate each morning to watch it seep from his hollow core, leeches and festers and grows, a larva in its pupa, until it is fully formed. No, he breathes, I refuse.
How childish of you. Wei Yung.
Wei Wuxian snarls. Water drips from his nose and the ends of his hair. In the Jingshi, he sinks into a strange hush. He's not sure what expression he's making as he methodically cuts carrot and beetroot, brings water to a boil, rinses rice. They have a small makeshift kitchen in the Jingshi. Little more than a bench and a cutting board, some pots and bowls, and woven baskets of dry ingredients and vegetables. He suspects Lam Meng Ji had it installed for one of two reasons. So they could cook together, occasionally, or so Wei Wuxian could cook himself a meal without bothering the kitchen, in Wei Wuxian's words. Slicing slowly through bok choy, Wei Wuxian thinks about Lam Meng Ji loving him. He takes extra care with the meal, feeling a little numb, a little worn. Sometimes he stops, breathing through a strange cramp. He's usually a menace in the kitchen, stirring like a whirlwind and eyeballing his measurements, with little sense for the aesthetic. It's how he's eaten on his travels. This time, he chops small, fresh greens to sprinkle on top. It feels almost like he is preparing a last meal. Once that thought sinks through his mind, the numbness pulls back before a needlepoint of terror. I don't want to die. It's the first time he can remember thinking that with such clarity. Lam Meng Ji pauses by the door when he returns, looking at Wei Wuxian by the low table and the lidded bowls there, his face ripe with emotion.
Wei Yong.
Hey. Wei Wuxian feels his mouth smile. Distantly, he hopes he looks pretty. When Wei Wuxian rises to go fetch some post-lunch sweets, a sudden jolt of pain in his left clavicle makes him trip up. He bumps into white robes, two hands coming up to steady him. Sorry. Lam Meng Ji is looking at him, very intently, like he is staring an enigma into submission. For a moment, Wei Wuxian thinks he has been found out. However, Lam Meng Ji only steps in closer, takes his chin in hand, closes his eyes, and kisses him. Oh, and not now, and a resounding yes fly through Wei Wuxian's mind in rapid fire. All strength leached from his body, he stumbles backward when Lam Meng Ji groans and kisses him harder. He hits the bed and half falls, half sits, and Lam Meng Ji leans in over him, presses him down, one underarm against the mattress. He's still in his stiff chief cultivator robes and hairdo, but his mouth is open where it slots over Wei Wuxian's, his tongue hot where it dips in.
You don't deserve this.
His arms shove Lam Meng Ji back. His right hand flies up, backhanding Lam Meng Ji across the cheek with a sharp noise. They stare at one another, equally horrified. The skin of Lam Meng Ji's cheekbone is growing pink. Grasping his own stinging right hand in a death grip, Wei Wuxian shakes his head. That wasn't me. That wasn't me. I would never.
I'm sorry.
Lam Meng Ji says, brokenly. No. Wei Wuxian breathes.
I apologize. I will go to the library.
He leaves in a sudden rush, head ducked, and Wei Wuxian hides his face in his hands. It's nightfall, and Lam Meng Ji hasn't returned. Of course he hasn't. He had kissed Wei Wuxian, finally kissed him, and then been soundly, violently rejected. Like a lonely child missing his parents, Wei Wuxian climbs into Lam Meng Ji's bed, cocooning himself in his blankets. He doesn't sleep. Turning beneath the sheets, he feels feverish, restless. It hurts to breathe. Something feels stuck in his throat, lumpy when he swallows. Shivering with sweat, he climbs out of bed, lighting a handheld candle as he steps over to rinse out his mouth. Drinking feels strange, too. Heavy. He feels like he's losing his mind. Walking over to the bronze mirror on the wall, he leans in close, dragging his lower lip down with a finger as he lifts the candle. Deep within the dark of his mouth, a bulging eye is staring back at him. He screams. He can't help it. The candle hits the floorboards with a loud clunk, snuffing out in the fall. Slamming both hands over his mouth, he whimpers, staggering back. He wants to sink to the floor and weep, wants to sprint through the hush of the cloud recesses, barefoot on damp grass, to throw himself against Lan Zhen's chest and pull him crushingly tight and whisper, "Help me!" Lan Zhen wouldn't have time to do anything but look surprised. Then the ghost would crush Wei Wuxian's heart with its newly formed fingers before flitting over into Lan Zhen's own chest. Yeah, no. If there's anything Wei Wuxian knows how to do well, it's suffering alone. Suffering rather than put anyone else in harm's way. He knows he has to leave. In the light of an oil lamp, he throws ink sticks and paper into a leather satchel, grabbing some of his scribbled papers from an assigned drawer, anything that might help. He wraps himself in his woolen robe. He leaves the bed unmade. The guards by the outer gate are sleepy-eyed, snapping into a very confused look once they recognize his figure.
Wei Gongzi.
Face shut down. Shoulders drawn tight, he passes them by without a word. The stone steps blur in his sight as he hurries down them. It's the wrong way, a sick joke on all the times he's rushed up this path, grin tucked ready in his sleeve. In the morning, Lan Zhen will return to the Jingshi with his body tight with shame and an apology on his lips because he is an honorable man who owes up to what he thinks was an awful mistake. He will find his home empty, and he will worry, and he will be told by the guard that Wei Wuxian left in the night, a satchel slung over his shoulder. Wei Wuxian is furious as he cries, silent and tense, knowing he is breaking Lan Mengzi's heart all over. In Zaiyi town, he takes a cheap room somewhere where they won't ask what the Yi Ling Lao Zu is planning to do there in the gray hours before dawn. In his small chamber, he locks the door, sits down cross-legged on the floor, and waits. He will not give this thing the aid of a single clue. He will not scream. It is difficult. His teeth push through his gums, and he spits blood in his lap. As he hears his ribs break, wet twigs on forest floors. As it gets hard to breathe, something pushing, pushing from within. As morning sunlight floods the chamber, street chatter traveling through the walls. "What are you planning, Wei Wuxian?" "Private death," he chokes out, grinning through the flashes of white in his vision. I don't like people seeing my messes, you know. I don't believe you. His hand moves by itself, pulling the knife from his hip to force up beneath his chin. It tips his head back, hand trembling as he tries and fails to resist the pull. "You wouldn't," he whispers, eyes hazy, fastened on the ceiling. "No, you want me too much." A pause. The ghost knows he is right. Knife clattering to the floor as his arm once again grows strengthless. Wei Wuxian grins. "I am stronger right now.
All right. Give in, Wei Wuxian. No. I am loved. And I love in return. That is enough.
Wei Wuxian looks down at his hands, the fine wrinkles of the skin that he didn't grow up in. He remembers how Shujie would trace those lines, speaking gently of life paths and fate, as Wei Wuxian shut his eyes and giggled at the tickle. He watches as the skin of his palms split along them. Lam Mengji flips another page he didn't read, allowing another set of papers to grow out of focus before him. A few other disciples had joined him in the library an hour after dawn, nodding to him with respect and awe at his early diligence. They did not know he had broken a rule and had, in fact, been sitting here since the previous evening. He had made a terrible mistake. Regret clogs his veins, makes his thoughts move slow. Dust dances in the morning sun, fine speckles of paper and soot. His body feels muted, as if he was meditating, submitting to punishment. He's doing neither. Or both, perhaps. The sound of students bustling into the library barely makes him lift his eyes.
Hong Guangjun!
Sichui's voice sounds out of breath. Haven't you heard? Then Jing Yi.
Wei Gongzi, he... Forgive me, Hong Guangjun, but aren't you going after him?
It hurts, sharp and sudden like a knife to his chest, growing into the deep ache of a bruise as it sinks in. He hoped, prayed, like a child, for Wei Yong to stay. Stay as he wanted, in the guest bed, in a house of his own. Lam Mengji would have made it happen. Stay as a friend, a brother in arms.
It is his right to leave,
he says to the pages, which chronicle the early days of the Sunshot campaign. Oh, he hadn't noticed. Sichui shifts on his feet. He sounds stressed, tense. Sichui is rarely tense.
I mean, yes, but after a strange ritual and with blood running from his eyes?
Lam Mengji's head snaps up.
What?
Sympathy softens the tightness of Sichui's features. He was, doing some ritual in the woods yesterday. Some of the others saw and told me and Jing Yi this morning, and while that isn't particularly strange coming from Wei Gongzi, he did leave the premises in the night looking rather, bedraggled, Jing Yi says, as if it pains him. The tearing ache in his chest shifts immediately into a fresh terror. Wei Yong isn't leaving. He is hurt. Oh, he is a fool. How selfish to think only of Wei Yong not loving him, to wallow in the sorrow when he was needed.
Where did he go?
Well, he wasn't bringing a mount and his sword.
Zai Yi.
By the time he finds the right inn, the morning chill has melted away. Lam Mengji slides open the door to the chamber the innkeeper had described. In the stark sunlight, Wei Wuxian's body lies crumpled, gutted. There is a papery quality to his skin, parts of him sunken. His face is turned away, mercifully. Lam Mengji's mind provides him the sight in pieces, which is probably a great favor. He cannot grieve again. His body physically refuses. There is a noise from the corner, like a small animal. following the smear on the floorboards with his eyes, Lamangti sees a creature huddled against the cold, shivering as it raises its head to meet his gaze. The whites of its eyes, his eyes, Wei Yung's eyes, is the only bright slash within deep red, drenching every inch of skin. He is thin, starkly naked beneath the blood, a newborn fawn blinking its eyes awake. His wet, unbound hair clings to his chest and shoulders in dark tendrils. Lamangti drags Beetson from its sheath with a polished noise, and the creature flinches, tries to speak with its new tongue.
I know what a skin stealer looks like.
Lamangti speaks, mouth wooden, words dead. Lantan, the thing that wears Wei Yung's body whispers. Don't. Lantan! The thing that looks like Wei Yung crawls back as he approaches, weak arms giving beneath its weight, legs dragging, slipping in the blood. There is a wall behind it. It can't get far. Lamangti puts the tip of his blade beneath the creature's chin and wonders if he is capable of killing something that wears the expression of his dazed, terrified lover. Please, Thierry, look at it! It struggles to speak, ribcage heaving. He does not. He looks at lashes, crumpled together into thick peaks and the familiar dip of a cupid's bow. Fucking look at it, Lantan! The sharpness is what cuts through his numbness. The whip crack of it when this creature should be using its features to plead for mercy. Keeping Beetson by its jaw, he turns his head. Calling it an array is kind. The few lines and characters not gone beneath the puddle look to be painted in the very same lifeblood, with palms and fingers as brushes. It looks rushed, but as he sends a tentative pulse of his own energy, he feels the residue powder burn like the lull of embers. From this angle, the characters are difficult to read. He hesitates, then steps back, keeping his blade in hand as he avoids the puddle with the drag of his white robes.
Soul switching, he reads after a long moment.
The array seems experimental, piecing together parts of spells on soul binding and spirit banishments in a fresh weave of magic. From the look of it, it might be able to separate spirits from their bodies and bind them once more. Forbidden, the 15-year-old in Lamangti's mind provides. Now he registers taboo rituals with a distant, skeptical interest. In the corner, there is a wet cough. Isn't it genius? I fucking did it. Isn't that great? His heart clenches, a visceral feeling through the chill. Wei Yung. He sounds helpless as he steps forward. Then he pauses. Sunlight gleams on wet skin, familiarity, a soft edge beneath the gore.
How did we first meet?
He asks hoarsely.
Wei Yung. How he wants it to be, Wei Yung.
Licks his lips. Makes a face at the taste. You were pretty in moonlight. I was discovering the pleasure of teasing you. He smiles, a flash of white. Then you pulled a sword on me.
Throat tightening, lower lip shaking.
Lamangti feels the caution ingrained in his spine snap and give in. He falls to his knees by the trembling body, pulls slippery limbs close, close. His robes stain immediately, but Wei-Yung makes a noise into his collar and tightens his fingers so weakly into Lam Mengzi's sleeve that he cannot find enough room in him to care. Unable to speak, he runs the scenes of the previous days through his mind, over and over. Aches at all the little missteps he had taken, the clues he should have seen. The festering ghost of a skin stealer is impossible to survive, if one is not a cultivator. It is a horrible death, known to birth new, resentful, flesh-greedy spirits. A cycle of claiming what is not yours. Once again, Wei Wuxian has proven there is no way out but through. A hand graces Lam Mengzi's face. It feels so frail, wrist thin, arm shaking with exhaustion. Still, Wei-Yung's thumb caresses his cheek as if it is the most important act he has ever done. I'm sorry I scared you. Wei-Yung is looking up at him from the crook of Lam Mengzi's long-sleeved elbow. Then, I know that you love me. I know, baby. I'm so sorry this happened. It must have been difficult. Lam Mengzi lowers his head.
I should have known.
No, I was trying not to let you know. I'm rather good at that. He cannot argue with that. Still, it stings that he still hasn't learned. He supposes loving Wei-Yung means knowing him, but still endlessly striving to know him more. Hand slipping from his face to drag damp fingertips down his neck, Wei-Yung's eyes almost flutter shut. I'm tired. Take me home, won't you?
Yes, Wei-Yung.
He whispers. Loosely swaddling him in his own outer robe, he lifts Wei-Yung in his arms. His bare feet hang limply in the air, head turned into Lam Mengzi's shoulder. Lam Mengzi kisses him, right where the small hairs cling to his temple with blood. Wei Wuxian blinks his sticky eyes open to the ceiling of the Ding Shi. The swirls of imagined creatures in the wood are the same as those he smiles lazily at whenever he takes a bath. He is in water now, too, he registers. It's temperate, swallowing the edges of his skin. Memory returns, softened by the lack of bodily awareness. Ah, he had died again. He had also been born. He recalls pain, horrible pain, and sudden light, cold air, a gasping scream torn from his lungs. The world shifting in and out of darkness. The edge of a white robe seen sideways across the room. Lan Zhen holding him. He is held still. His heavy head lolls against stiff fabric. A soft cloth is washing the spirals of his ear, dabbing carefully along the curves and behind the shell. Down his neck, rinsing, gathering water. Up once more to wash his jaw and his nape. Lan Zhen, he exhales, less words and more the instinctive shape of his breath. Lam Mengzi hums in confirmation.
It is me.
He laughs, a single huff. Good. That's good.
How do you feel?
Raising an arm out of the water, Wei Wuxian studies his hand. His nails are soft and pink, skin unbroken. all rough edges worn down, smoothed out to a blank slate. Brand new, he sighs. Lamangti sits quiet for a moment. It is the kind of quiet that Wei Wuxian knows holds acceptance, but also melancholy. Another time he has narrowly escaped oblivion. Another time to start over.
Can you support your head?
Lamangti asks, moving on to the next practical concern.
Yeah.
Scooting forward, he grabs the edges of the tub and sits up. Gently, Lamangti tilts his head backwards with his fingertips. The side of a palm settles by his forehead as water is poured over his matted hair. Wei Wuxian makes a pleased noise.
I have loved you with three bodies now, you know, he hums.
Lamangti massages foam into his scalp, slowly, and he keeps going. Foolishly, the first time, young love, all that, denial. A sigh at the pressure by his temples. The second time, I knew. I will admit to that. I think I worried you were loving a memory of me. I wasn't sure if I deserved to embody it.
It was not a memory.
Lamangti rinses his hair again. I know. I've gotten the privilege of seeing the ways you love me up close. I see them, Lanzhen, I do. It's not the love of habit or of wishing for the past. It's a living thing.
Yes,
Lamangti says. There are times when I can't believe it. That is a habit, one I'm working on. Still, I trust you, you know? So if you say you love me every day, I'll believe.
I will.
Yeah, but you already do, he smiles, eyes closing. A thought occurs to him. What did you do with the body?
Nothing yet. I wished to hear your thoughts.
He hesitates, pushes a wet strand behind the shell of Wei Wuxian's ear.
I could take care of it, if you wanted.
No, they deserve a proper burial, whoever they once were. Wei Wuxian says, catching his hand on its path, intertwining their fingers. And I deserve to live, here, with you.
Yes.
Lamangti says again, and that's that. The end. Had he gone harder on the training grounds last night than he'd thought? Fucked himself up somehow, landing a fall the wrong way? Had he gone harder on the training grounds last night than he'd thought? Fucked himself up somehow, Lint. Are we done? So Wei Wuxian settles on neatly stacking the bowls, placing them outside the sliding door with a silent apology to whoever has to Why can't I make words happen today? So Wei Wuxian settles on neatly stacking the bowls, placing them outside the sliding door with a silent apology to whoever has to scrub his curry stains from the white In his periphery, he sees wool-covered feet. This time, it really has In his periphery, he sees wool-covered feet this time. It really has gone... Fuck. Why can I not talk today?